This time I'm going to ask Evangelist Bill Smith to come preach to us. Many of you know Brother Smith, and some of you probably may not know. Some of our folks haven't met him, but he ministers in South Africa about half the year, and then across the U.S. and into Canada, holding vacation Bible schools and ministering particularly to youth, I believe, right? So ask you to come at this time.
Thank you. It is a blessing to be here tonight, and I do appreciate Pastor Vall extending this invitation. I come to this meeting for lots of different reasons, but one of the reasons I come is so that my kids can hear somebody preach besides me. And every time you go somewhere and the pastor says, "Oh, Brother Smith, you're here tonight. Why don't you preach?" My kids go, "Not again, Dad." But my boy Andrew was sitting back there, and he's looking at the schedule, and he says, "Dad, you don't have much time to preach tonight." And I said, "Don't worry, we'll take care of that." Amen. But praise the Lord for that. If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles tonight and chapter number 18. 2 Chronicles and chapter number 18. And I do appreciate the friendship of many of you, and don't always get to, as we say in different places, don't always get to be in everybody's church. And I don't believe that's God's plan anyhow. I believe that God wants you to be where God wants you to be. But it's nice to come together with friends and fellowship and hear what God is doing. And I'm not a person that believes in doom and gloom. I believe that God's throne is still God's throne. Amen. I believe until the day the trumpet sounds, the day that God catches away his church out of this earth, that God will still work. Amen. Amen. And we may not see it all. We may not get to be right around where it's taking place, but God is saving people. God is building churches. I could spend all of my time telling you of things that I've heard, things that I've seen. Not things that I've had a part in, but just because of my travels, I get to hear a lot. I get to see a lot. And God is working. God is working in great ways all around this world. And you're a part of that because you stand, because you stay faithful, because you don't quit. The Bible says, "Will the Son of Man find faith?" Well, that's what we need to be doing, is standing. And so I want to look at some things tonight about that in the Scriptures, some principles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 18, we're going to read from verse number 1, and we'll just read down to verse number 3. Now, the message is going to cover out of chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20. That's why my son said, "Dad, there's not enough time." Amen. But we will highlight some of it, and Brother Hallmark already covered the foundation for me, which is good. And so I can get to what I really believe God wants us to have for this bit of time. So read with me, if you would, verse number 1. It says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, 'Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?' And he answered him, 'I am as thou art, and my people as thy people.'" And then notice this statement. He said, "We will be with thee in the war." Fighting the good fight of faith. The only problem is that Jehoshaphat got involved in the wrong war. He got involved in the wrong fight. And tonight I want us for a few moments of time to examine this thought of fighting the good fight, but making certain that it's God's fight and not someone else's. Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, we surely need you. Lord, I'm thankful for the men in this room, Lord, that have labored as pastors, assistants, as helpers, as co-laborers in churches across this region. Father, for the many years of faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that God, you would stir our hearts through the things that we've heard, that our vision would be enlarged, that we would be strengthened, that God, as we go back to different places and we touch other people's lives, that you would help us to express what you've given us, Lord, that it might multiply. And Lord, we know that in this country of Canada, there is a great need. Lord, there are still many, many communities that desperately need a church and a gospel preacher and a prophet to walk among them. And God, I pray you would continue to call men into those fields. And Father, we know the world as we look at it. And Father, the different cultures and the different people groups. And Father, the billions of souls that are living on our earth needing to hear the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see our part, Lord, to be faithful to your cause. Help me to speak the words that you'd want represented tonight. Lord, may your spirit empower us. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Of course, I think you would be familiar with the story of Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, a godly king. The Bible has some good things to say about Asa. And we could look at some of the wording that God gives about Jehoshaphat. Let's read just some of it so we can get the setting. Look with me, if you would, at chapter number 17 in the early reign of Jehoshaphat, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David." Now, something that is always interesting to study in the history of the kings is what I call the standard or the bar that God compared them to. And it's interesting because David was the bar that God many times brought them back to as the one, because David was a man that loved God with all of his heart. David was a man that followed God. Not every king was compared to David. Sometimes they were compared to others. But Jehoshaphat was brought back to that bar, the bar of David. And it says, "He sought not unto Balaam." And in verse 4, "But he sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel." I would think tonight that probably most of the preachers, most of the churches that I would have the joy of being in contact with and experience and working with, that these are the type of statements that could be made about them. I believe that many of the pastors and even the people in the churches, they do want to seek God. I mean, they do spend time in their Bibles. They do spend time on their knees in prayer. They want God to revive their community. Not that there is sinlessness in the lives of every church and every person, but there is a desire to see God do something. The result in verse number 5, the Bible says, is, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance." And verse 6 is so amazing, because so many times when God begins to bless someone's ministry, when God begins to bless a church, when God begins to bless an evangelist or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher, and things go well because they did well, their hearts get lifted up, but not in the ways that Jehoshaphat's did. Their hearts get lifted up like Saul did with pride, and God has to take them down. But verse 6 says about Jehoshaphat that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. He was doing some amazing things for the work of God. Jump down to verse number 9. It says, "They taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." This is the Levites that he sent out. Verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Do you see what God has done? Because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience to the ways of God, learned from the life of David, God has put his hand of blessing upon Jehoshaphat, and people are bringing him presents, things are going well, the ministry, if we might call it that, is expanding, everything is doing excellent. You could read down through the rest of chapter number 17. You see some of the more blessings of God, the peace and all the things that God accomplished. But then we come to chapter number 18. And we've read the verses in the first part of the chapter where Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab, that wicked king of the other half of the nation, Israel. We read how that he made that statement in that allegiance and said, "My people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." It's interesting, if you will draw your mind and your connection back to verse 10 in chapter 17, there was no war against Jehoshaphat. He went to pick a fight. You know the story in chapter number 18, of course, as Jehoshaphat did say in verse 6, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" Ahab had his paid prophets. I love the story about his paid prophets making up their false horns and pushing people around, you know, and acting their foolishness. And yet Jehoshaphat says, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord?" And of course Ahab, you know, says, "Well, there's one," but he doesn't have anything good to say. And Micaiah is brought up, and Micaiah even speaks, "Oh yeah, go ahead and go," because he knew what was going to happen, and God told him to do that. And he was challenged, and of course, the prophecy came about in verses 16, 17, and 18. But pick up the reading again, if you would, in our chapter, down in verse number 28. Because Jehoshaphat goes off to the battle. And the verse 28, it says, so the king of Israel, that's Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to the battle. That is the most amazing verse, is it not? Let's go fight, but I'm going to hide. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. You ought to mark that verse down. The battle was not with Jehoshaphat. This battle was with Ahab. This battle was God. Hear me tonight. This was God doing something to Ahab. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. Isn't that amazing? I'm thinking at that moment, Jehoshaphat is saying, oh, I have made a really big mistake. I have no business being here in this chair. Where is Ahab? He's off hiding. He doesn't even look like a king. They think I'm Ahab. He's about to die for Ahab. But he calls out to the Lord. The Lord is merciful and helps him. And God moved them to depart from him. By the way, it was only the mercy of God that spared Jehoshaphat's life at that moment. It wasn't anything he did. It wasn't any of his soldiers coming and surrounding him and beating off the enemy. It was all God. And of course, the rest of the chapter tells us how Ahab was killed by the bow drawn at a venture, because that's what God was trying to accomplish. By the way, you don't circumvent the will of God. Right. Now, it might happen in ways you didn't plan it, or it'll come about. But Ahab was dying in this battle. That was God's plan. So chapter 19, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? He returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Remember back there in chapter 17, verse 10? The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. There didn't need to be a chapter 18 in Jehoshaphat's life. It didn't need to be there. But it was. In verse 10, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He got rebuked. But in verse 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. God rebukes Jehoshaphat. Some thoughts I want us to think about tonight, just very briefly, as we've read through that, I've already mentioned them, but the first thing that God put into my heart as I was reading through this and thinking about it is this thought: we do not fight the good fight of faith when we fight battles that are not ours. You know, I'm afraid tonight that there are people that have inside of them a desire to fight. Amen? We like a good fight, right? But you know, there are some fights that are not yours. We say, man, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. Is it your fight? Be careful tonight. Be careful tonight that you're not involving yourself in fights that are not yours. God calls it meddling. Would you look at a verse with me? Keep your hand in Chronicles. We'll come back in a moment. Proverbs chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. You probably can quote the verse, but we ought to read it together so that we see it's the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 17. Notice what it says. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I was tempted to borrow Brother Andy's dog and bring it in here tonight and see if I could get some people to grab it by the ears and start yanking. I don't know what his dog is like, all right? But it might be fun, you know, we could get on YouTube, all right? But you understand the principle, what it says here. Now read the verse again carefully. He that passeth by Okay, you're just going along in life. Now notice what it says, and meddleth with strife. Notice this, belonging not to him. Did you know that not every battle belongs to you? Isn't that true? But we love to fight. And if we see a fight going on, we just like, well, there's a fight going on. I need to jump in it. Really? Really? Can you show me in the Word of God where God says that is your fight? Well, I'm standing. Well, amen. We need to stand. And we'll talk about that in just a couple of moments. But you know, you could be standing, but standing in the wrong place. You could be fighting, but fighting the wrong fight. You could have chosen an opponent that wasn't yours. You say, well, I'm fighting against the devil. That's what Jehoshaphat thought. But it wasn't his fight. My heart hurts when I see ministries destroyed because somebody picks a fight that's not theirs. And it happens all the time. My heart hurts when friends are no longer friends because somebody chooses a fight that's not theirs. Amen. Sometimes it's better to let the sleeping dog sleep. Amen. Amen. Than to reach down and grab him by the ears. Let me tell you something else. If the dog is going crazy and chewing on and chewing on, you say, well, I need to get involved. Are you sure? In South Africa, consistently we find stories in the news about things that were taking place and somebody else got involved. The most amazing thing is the one that got involved ended up getting killed or turned on. You ever fight with two drunks? Ever try to break up two drunks? Yeah. I was down in America, in New Orleans, at a big street festival one time witnessing soul winning. Had a guy standing with me and there was drunk man, drunk lady, and the man hauled off and just plowed into that lady's face. Bam! Now, I've been on the streets long enough to know that as much as everything inside of you says, that isn't right, somebody better stand up for that woman, you go ahead, we'll get you out of jail tomorrow. But the guy next to me hadn't figured that out yet. And he intervened, and I said, well, stop, but he was gonna get in on that fight. Well, the police respond in about like this down there on those streets because they are there for crowd control. By the time the police came around the corner and they showed up, the man sitting there, and it was his wife, I suppose, or some lady he was with, they're all after this friend of mine, and the police says, what happened? And they both said, this man hit her! He meddled with strife that didn't belong to him. Oh, I know the old school would say, oh, well, you see a woman getting hit, you be careful, you better study your Bible a little bit. Might not be your fight. Fortunately, we were able to talk to the police officer. We had enough of the people standing there that said, no, that's not the way it happened. And the most amazing thing, the police officer said, well, is anybody upset here? And the man and the woman, they went off down the street singing their bar songs. And the officer said, well, I guess it's all okay now. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you in a fight that's not yours? God calls it being contentious. Isn't that true? We are commanded to be contenders of the faith, but we're not commanded to be contentious. Some people just love to find out what fight's going on so they can weigh in. Isn't that true? It's true. They just love it. Let me just say tonight, that is not the good fight of faith. The second thing that I noticed as I was reading about Jehoshaphat was we do not fight the good fight of faith when we battle alongside of those that will not stand for the Lord. I mean, what an amazing thing that Jehoshaphat went to Ahab. And Ahab said, let's go fight together. And Jehoshaphat said, hey, my people is your people. My army is like your army. Let's go fight together. Well, you know what happens when you fight with people? Alongside of people that will not stand for God, they're going to go into battle in disguise and let you take the fall. Isn't that true? If somebody is not standing for the Lord, I can't go to battle with them. Because it's not God's plan. But Jehoshaphat, for all of his good, had a struggle with this. It's amazing what we will do, calling it the good fight of faith, when it is not who God would have us to be standing with. We must not fight against them, neither must we fight with them. We must not unite with them for battles or for benefits. Because turn, if you would, over to chapter number 20 for just a moment in Jehoshaphat's life. He learned the side, I think, a little bit about the battles. We'll look at that in just a moment. But the Bible says in verse 34 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. He's making the same mistake here. Only this time it's not for a battle. It says in verse 36, he joined himself with him and to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodava of Maresha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. You know, he had to learn again, didn't he? I can't fight with that king. And I can't do business alongside of those people. I'm to fight the good fight of faith. So what is the good fight of faith? I believe God gives it to us here in chapter number 20 in the middle of Jehoshaphat's life. Now remember tonight, we're not throwing any rocks at Jehoshaphat because God had high condemnation to say for this man. Jehoshaphat was a king that strove to bring back godliness to the nation. Jehoshaphat was a king that I believe loved God and wanted to serve God and wanted to see God do great and mighty things. But he didn't always get it right about the fight. Sometimes there are really good people that really love the Lord, but they're not getting it right about the fight. You say, what's the big deal? Because when you don't get it right about the fight, you hurt the people of God. When you don't get it right about the fight, you drain the resources of the people of God. When you don't get it right about the fight, you're distracted and you're disturbed and you're fraught and you commit other sins like anger. That's always a good test if you're in the right fight. Anger. Anger is not the evidence of godliness. Amen? Criticism is not the evidence of godliness. Slander is not the evidence of godliness. Do we need to go on? Bitterness, clamor, evil speaking. The list is there. We know them, right? Those are not the evidences of someone that is fighting the good fight of faith. They might be fighting a fight, but I think what they've done is crossed the lines and they're fighting a fight that is not theirs. Don't misunderstand me tonight. It doesn't mean that the fight doesn't need to be fought. Sometimes the fight needs to be fought, but it's not your fight to fight. That's hard, isn't it? But is there any man in this room today that's able to fight every fight there is to fight? If you try, you'll lose. But what's sad is you might lose the fight that you were supposed to win. Because you died in the battle you weren't supposed to be in. So Jehoshaphat has some things for us to learn here. God gave us in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Let's read some of these verses if we can tonight. In verse number 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He went from the time of peace and now comes a fight against the Ammonites, a fight that is his fight to fight. The Bible says in verse 2, there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Here's evidence when you're fighting the good fight of faith. Number one, you're seeking the Lord. You're seeking the Lord. I mean, I won't read the verses, but read those verses again about what people are coming. The children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with others beside the Ammonites, and all these other people from... He's fixing to get slammed by all these mighty armies. But he fought the good fight of faith. Because the Bible says he set himself to seek the Lord. Wow. You always wonder if you should say something, amen? Maybe. Before we went click, 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 send. If we'd spent a lot of time seeking God before we start the fight. Amen? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Huh. I'm in the good fight. Can you help me? Can you help me? And you, listen, I'm in a fight right now, and I need you guys to help me. Don't misunderstand me tonight. God gives us our friends, amen? But you've better have been to the friend first. And said, Lord, I need you to help me. This is a fight that you've sent my way. And Lord, I'm seeking your face, God. I need to know what it is that I'm supposed to do in this battle, in this fight, in this ministry thing, in this situation, in this family battle, whatever the battle might be that has come your way. You hear about a fight, you hear about a battle. Oh God, what am I supposed to do? What is my part in this battle? And God says, stay out of it. Yeah, but Lord, I love to fight. I'm a knockout guy. Put me in a ring, I can knock him out. Remember, there's always somebody with a bigger stick, amen? It might be your knockout round. Wasn't your fight. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Oftentimes, we would be amazed that if we would fight our battles on our knees, the battle would be won by God. Look what the Bible says. I won't read the whole chapter. You can read the prayer there in verse 5 and onward down if you'd like it sometime. But in verse 13 it says, all Judah stood before the Lord with all their little ones and wives and their children. What an amazing thing is the people were gathered together and praying. But in verse 14 it says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And I think all those names are there on purpose so that we can understand exactly who this man is. He was not somebody that was unknowledgeable. He was not someone that did not have authority. He was not someone that did not know God. But that pedigree is giving there. But it says, upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now that's a trite statement that people like to throw around all the time and say, don't worry, the battle is God's, you don't got to worry about anything. And then they put on their boxing gloves and go to pounding. It's true. People all the time will say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. Smack, 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 smack. Really? That's what we do. Well, I put my faith in God. Now I've got to start maneuvering everything. Trusting in the Lord, amen? Stressed out, maxed out, stressed out. That's not Jehoshaphat. The Spirit of God came upon this man and said, trust in God. Told them what they were supposed to do. So number one, when you're fighting the good fight of faith, it's very true
There will be that time of trusting in God and prayer and spending time. But the second thing we find in the life of Jehoshaphat, there was spiritual leading. We could spend a lot of time tonight talking about counsel, and we ought to seek counsel. By all means, we ought to seek counsel of those that are spiritual leaders. And finding out what God wants to be accomplished. Jehoshaphat did that. And God sent this man to tell him what to do. Look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Isn't that amazing? And that's what God said to do. The Spirit is leading to fight the good fight of faith. And God said, stand still and see what God does. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I find it a whole lot easier just go ahead and punch them. Amen? I find it a whole lot easier to find something to do. I find it a whole lot easier to get active and to put into motion my plans than to stand still and trust God. By the way, it's amazing what man can do. Is it not? I mean, we live in a world of unbelievable feats that man can accomplish in the flesh. In fact, it got so bad one time in the history of the world as man was working together and doing great things in the flesh as he was building that tower that God said would reach to heaven, that God said, enough, destroy it or they'll do it. You see, success does not mean spirit-led. Amen? Man saying what great accomplishments doesn't mean that God did it. It could mean that man did as much as man could do and it looks pretty good, but we totally missed what God could have done because we didn't stand still. Look at Ephesians. Hold your fingers to 2 Chronicles. Let's go to Ephesians for just a moment. Chapter number 10. Or chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our strength, not our might, not our wisdom, not our devices, not our scheming, not our planning, not all of our doing, but in the Lord and the power of His might. Now it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where's the battle? It's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle against darkness. So verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And notice the next verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And notice what it says. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all, what's that word? Perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he goes on with a specific prayer for himself. Sometimes we get this idea of the armor and we put all that armor on. And we think that because we got all that armor on, it's time to run out and start swinging. But that's not what it says. It says to stand, having your loins girt about, taking, prepared, ready. And it says praying and watching. And don't misunderstand me tonight. The praying and watching can lead to the doing. But it is doing according to the plan of God and not the plan of man. And so many times we run ahead into the race because we're eager for the fight. And after we get into the race, into the battle, we find ourselves like Jehoshaphat. Oh Lord, help me to get out of this battle alive. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be if you're in the battle God wants you to be in. David didn't get halfway out to Goliath and say, oh boy, I've made a big mistake. He took him down. Standing still. The last thought that I'll give you is back in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Because an amazing thing takes place in this chapter. As they're told by a spirit-led man after time of prayer to stand still and see what God can do. So verse number 20, it says, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the peoples, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they had begun to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Isn't that amazing? They walked out there and started singing praises to God. And God said, it's covered. Destroyed them. If you jump down a little bit later in the chapter, the Bible says in verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and of Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries. When they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. I hope I'm learning this in my life. The good fight of faith is the fight that God has for me. I'm sure there are some of you here in this room tonight that have some fights you need to be fighting. But if it's not my fight, I got to stay out of it. Amen? I hope that I'm learning that when I see the fight that God wants me to get into, to wait and seek God's face and see how he wants me to fight it. Because the most amazing thing is this: he has not lost yet. And I read the last chapter. He never will. Amen. But you know, my record ain't so great. Those fights that I've involved myself in that weren't mine, guess what my record is? Haven't won yet. Those fights that I went into without consulting God, even though they were my fight,
Guess which one of those fights I won? Haven't won one yet. You say, well, Brother Smith, wasn't there a victory? You missed the point. I can't win the fight. Only he can. Because if I walk away from the fight saying, hey, look what I've done tonight, brother. And praise goes to man. Then it wasn't the good fight of faith. When Jehoshaphat fought the good fight of faith, nobody came back to the city and said, isn't Jehoshaphat the greatest king and leader we've ever had? They came back playing their trumpets and saying, look what God has done. Tonight I want to challenge you. Not just fight the fight. Make sure it's the good fight. And it's the fight of faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us. Lord, I'm thankful for these friends, these pastors, these churches. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart that they desire to see you do a work, to see you revive, change, build churches. And God, Satan is very divisive. And Lord, he wants to sidetrack us. He wants to involve us in things that would drain us and weary us. And Father, put undue pressure upon us. And God, tonight may we be challenged, Lord, just to reevaluate, to take some time, to pray, to consider, to be certain, God, that whatever fight we're in, it's your fight, not ours. We didn't choose it, you chose it. And God, to be certain tonight that we're fighting it your way, not our way. Because God, we know that without a doubt, the Bible promises victory, overcoming, rest to those that fight your fight. Help us now. Thank you for this. You ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Message. Fighting the right fight. Well, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and after all that talking about long messages, you had a minute to go yet, you know? So we're going to take a 10-minute break at this point, and then when you hear the piano coming, you got 5 minutes to...